Welcome to Who's Talking. This is DG Martin. Have you heard about the Playmakers December production? We look for something special at Christmas time each time. This time a little bit different, a little tall tale storytelling extravaganza, but with familiar people, including Tom Quaintance, who is the director. And Tom, you're not an official member of the Playmakers yet. Company yet, but you sure are here a lot, and Joe Hodge must have a lot of confidence in your being able to bring to us at particular seasons great productions. What do you bring us this time?
Well, it's always a pleasure to be back here, and this time I'm directing a play that I love called Shipwrecked, an entertainment, the amazing adventures of Louis de Rougemont as told by himself.
And let me just confess, I've heard about shipwrecked tales and lost on islands, but Louis is somebody new to me. I'm sorry.
You know, it's funny. It's a relatively new play, but this Louis de Rougemont's an actual figure from history that was a tremendous story about a guy who, around the turn of the century, showed up in London with these fantastic tales of his shipwreck and being marooned on an island, and tales of giant octopi attacking fishermen. And he became a big celebrity. Knew Queen Victoria and was sort of the toast of the town.
He was British, or he was...
Born in Paris with parents of Swiss extraction, maybe. some of the details are a little hazy. But this is a real guy who was this phenomenon, and then had a kind of equally spectacular crash and burn when the veracity of his story was called into question. And so this is a really, really interesting guy in history. And this play is this celebration of storytelling. I mean, it is kind of all the tall tales of shipwreck and adventure that you can pack into about 90 minutes.
What is it? If for those of us who don't know this story, what would it – are there – analogies? Are there other stories like this that we do know about or that we've heard about? What could you compare it to?
Boy, you can compare it to a lot of things. I mean, it's part sort of Robinson Crusoe, but also part, ripped from today's headlines of some of the guys like, James Frey and the whole somebody who published a memoir and perhaps it wasn't all true, and what happened to them. I mean, there's sort of two stories going on. There's the incredible adventure that Louis tells, that story. And then there's the story about how he was treated and the kind of question about, what is truth and is there a sort of hard and fast what's real, and how important is that? So at the end of the day, it's a fascinating story that sort of weaves several things into one 90-minute fun-filled evening at theater.
So before we get into the play, I'm really fascinated about the idea of storytelling itself, and I find that just in everyday life, the people whom I enjoy having a conversation with when they're telling a story about something that happened to them, almost always based on truth. But they've learned as they've told the tale what are the best lines, and then they've kind of added or exaggerated, time or who the other people involved were, and they add people, and all of a sudden it becomes a great story. And you can't really say, well, that it's a lie, and it would be not nearly as much fun to hear if it were just the routine thing that happened. They are able to take real life adventures or real life happenings that most of us would just kind of let lie on the table and never even mention again, and they make them exciting and something that entertains us.
Well, I mean, I think one of the things, it's one of the big questions we've had in rehearsal is kind of, where does this guy's story come from? And there's certainly a bunch of truth in it. And we also, how many times in rehearsal we're talking about things that, memories that people have in a family that maybe didn't happen quite the way they even remember it. So it's something that it's not necessarily about lying at all, but more about, you know, how do you remember something? I mean, Louis de Rougemont's a guy who never came out and said, oh, yeah, no, I made that up. I mean, it's something he went to his grave saying, no, this all really happened and you guys have it wrong. So there's a really interesting question about how much of that actually happened and how important that is. You know, there's a line in the story about, you know, I've got the guy playing Louis right here, and so he'll know this line better than me. But the line about Scott Ripley, who is...
We know Scott Ripley. You've brought him to the stage a number of times during your Christmas productions. And
Scott played the aviator in The Little Prince and was also on stage last year in the production of Nicholas Nickleby that Joe and I co-directed, and has been several other productions at Playmakers. But Scott, what's the line about what does a man have but the stories? How does that go?
I don't know. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, TG. That's a joke.
I mean, these guys are... What? I mean, I'm sorry y'all don't get along. I mean, we should probably take a break and break up this thing. No. You're kidding.
I am kidding. The line is, what does a man leave behind but his name and the stories he has told? All else is dust.
Oh, well. I love this. I mean, excuse me for interrupting. Y'all might not even know our great author who lives in Chapel Hill, Daniel Wallace, wrote The Big Fish. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It turned into a movie, and it, you know, sort of loosely based on his real dad, but...
Teaches at UNC.
He teaches writing
at UNC, yeah.
But a spectacular explosion out of a few little facts into this wonderful myth, you know, right there, sort of before your eyes.
No, it's a story that has a lot to do with that. I mean, those two stories are very closely related.
Well, I tell you what, let's take a break, and then maybe you can tell us some more, Tom Quaintance, about the play and introduce some of the other players.
Sure.
We're visiting with Tom Quaintance. We're talking about the Playmakers' Christmas season production, Shipwreck. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm visiting with Tom Quaintance, the director of the Playmakers' Christmas season production, Shipwreck. Tom, I'm already all excited about it.
Me too.
Louis de Rougemont. And who this character was and what the play is all about. And you've agreed to sort of introduce the play maybe and introduce some of the players who are with us today.
You know, the play opens with Louis introducing himself and the people who are in it. So it might be great just to do that little bit of the play. That really is kind of how we start. So, Scott.
This is Scott Ripley, again, for those of you who joined us late, who's a familiar player for those Playmakers fans, and you've got him now in the role of Louis de Rougemont, and mm-hmm. So he enters stage, and you're going to let him share a preview of that.
Yep.
Yeah. So the premise of the play and the production is that we're actually meeting Louis, the real Louis, the historical Louis, who's playing himself, and then he's been allowed to use Playmaker's stage for 90 minutes so that he can tell his story.
So it's sort
story.
Of like if we're inviting everybody who's listening, or you're inviting us, to come visit with you on the stage. And
exactly.
It's like you come and you've heard about this great story, and you're going to share it with us.
Yeah, I'm sharing my I'm Louis, the real Louis. I'm not an actor. I'm actually really Louis, and I'm sharing my story, and I've asked these three actors to help me, so I introduce them as themselves.
I'm so excited about it, and I apologize.
No, not at all.
You know, in the old days, this was the before radio and television and everything, these famous personages would make their money by going around on stage and telling their story. You think about this more about Mark Twain.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Visiting and entertaining, telling the stories.
And at the end of his life, Louis lived by his wits on the streets by telling his story, and people would pay him. And actually, early when he was a young man, as part of his adventures, he would tell stories to his shipmates, and they would give him money or food or, you know, somehow reward him for his stories.
So forget that you're an actor. You're Louis, and you got a story to tell, and we're paying a little bit of money to hear you tell the story. And so that'll be done on stage, but you're going to give us a preview
right.
of this.
Okay. Right.
I'll sit back and try to keep my mouth shut while you do this.
So my assistants at today's proceedings, Mr. Ledbetter, Miss Batiste, and Mr. Kiefer.
Actually, it's pronounced Kiefer.
I'm sorry, Kiefer?
Yeah.
Right. Hush now, for I'm about to tell you a story. A fantastic and amazing story. A story all the more remarkable because every word of it is true. That's right. Every word. How do I know? Because I lived it, dear ones. Gentle boys and girls, kind men and ladies, the amazing adventures of Louis de Rougemont as told by himself.
And then we launch into the play.
Wow. Well, now you've sort of introduced your players to...
Right.
Louis, can you bring them to life for us? Can you give them something to...
Sure. Do you want to do a scene?
Yeah, but let's talk about these who these actual actors are first. Yeah. I mean, so it's fun, in the script. My assistant said today's proceedings, and there's a stage direction. Actual names of actors insert here, you know. So these are actually Miss Batiste and Mr. Ledbetter and Mr. Kiefer.
So actually, it's pronounced Kiefer.
Oh, sorry. Mr. Kiefer.
So the introductions were not the names of imaginary people.
No,
these
are the real
names
guys.
Of real actors whom Louis has engaged to help tell the story.
Right. So these are, and the idea being these are actually the playmakers, actors, Derek Ledbetter.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit, why don't we let Derek and Jimmy
and Dee Dee
tell a little bit about themselves really before we put them in character?
Great. Awesome.
Can we do that? Dee Dee, why don't you go first? This is an Indiana young woman, now part of the Playmakers Company, and she distinguishes herself by disclaiming any interest in basketball either.
No. Basketball's so much fun. I love it.
Of the Indiana style or the North Carolina style. All right, I told it wrong.
No, yeah. No, basketball's great. I like it a lot. Guess I'm still saying that. No. Yeah. I'm Dee Dee Batiste, Playmakers Company first year with Playmakers, and it's amazing. And I am in Shipwrecked.
And where'd you come from other than Indiana? I mean, how did you get to the stage?
Well, I went through Indiana, did undergrad at Ball State, which is big old Indiana State School, and then I went to New York for 3 years, and somehow landed in beautiful Chapel Hill after that. By way of grad school. And I've lucked out to land in this fantastic production of Shipwrecked, which is unlike any production, seriously, that I have ever done in my entire life. It is crazy. I said to someone the other day, if I came as an actor, someone who's been an actor for a while, and saw this production, my first thought would be, oh my gosh, that is so cool. I don't have any idea how I would ever do that as an actor. And then you
what do you mean? Why does it present a special challenge?
It's because it's structured playtime. It makes you forget there are several moments, I think, for all of us in that rehearsal hall where you forget that you're an adult and someone will bring in a set piece or a prop or something and I jumped up and down yesterday. Something was brought into the room, which is a secret, but I looked at it and I was like, oh my gosh, it's here. And I jumped up and down and I danced around with another cast member. It's just silly.
You can tell us what it was.
I can't tell you what it is. Big surprise. I mean, but it's
just
awesome.
Us. We won't tell anybody.
You know. It was pretty magical. It was a magical moment. I'm gonna keep it to myself for
and
now.
Is it gonna? If we come to the play, will we see it? Or
you certainly will. Yeah, if you come to the play,
just
you'll
give
see
us
it.
A hint. I mean, just a hint.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't give in.
Not at all.
This is a very popular program, Dee Dee.
I know. I will get in trouble, and then I'll yeah.
All right.
Play
all right. Well, now what about the? You're introduced with your real name, Louis, who's a fake. Introduces yeah. you as real as an actor to help him.
Wait a minute. Okay. Louis is a fake.
I knew that you were going to get
Louis not a fake. He's actually the actual guy.
And what what kinds of parts do you play? I mean, who would you become as an on stage?
Oh, I'm Louis's mother.
All right, you're the only woman in the place, so you got to be the girlfriend, mama, and how is that right?
I mean, yes, I am. I'm the love interest. I'm the mother. I'm a barkeep. I'm a scholar. I'm everything. But I am the only. There's a great. We have three players who are around who are also two of them are women, but I'm the only woman as one of the players that introduces Louis' story.
They're just supernumeraries, or I mean,
we have these three additional company members who are Foley artists and supernumeraries, but sort of fill the life of the stage. But the work they are doing to kind of create the soundscape of the play is remarkable, and they'll show up in scenes as sailors and people from London. But Dee Dee is the woman who ends up. And by the way, while Dee Dee's the only woman in the play, she's not the only person who plays a woman. Jimmy Kiefer plays a mean Queen Victoria. It's something to be.
Right, now I'm looking at Jimmy. Not to be missed. We're going to learn more about Jimmy. Is it Kiefer or Kiefer?
It actually is Kiefer.
And so
that's true.
I've known you for 3 years.
I know.
We're gonna see him, but he's wearing a beard, and I can't wait to see how Queen Victoria looks with a beard. I
mean, she looks wonderful.
Well, I just found out yesterday that I'm going to have to shave the beard to play Queen Victoria, which was a bit distressing, but I understand that's what Tom wants. And
you
that's
guys
what
can't see
get.
Jimmy Kiefer could play tackle for the. Well, he could for the Carolina Panthers and maybe no other team.
Poorly, yeah, definitely play for the Panthers.
He'd be a starter for the Panthers.
Dee Dee, but before we leave you, I mean, this is a beautiful woman. I'm telling you guys, she's worth coming to the price of the play just to see her. But Dee Dee, all right, tell us what you will about the love scenes in the play.
Yamba. Yamba is an Aboriginal woman. She's a little bit of a wild woman, and she.
So he's shipwrecked on the island. Is that and then this is what all of us all imagine. This beautiful woman comes out of the forest, and
then
he
finds a boat with a distressed Aboriginal woman and her father, and he rescues them. Which I mean, come on. What woman wouldn't fall in love with someone who rescues her from the ocean? And Yamba and Louis have a romance on this island, and it's fairy tale. It's every book when you're a little. It's what makes the playtime and the rehearsal hall fun. Just the idea of this amazing romance between two different worlds meeting.
And you always are intrigued by a romance between two people who do not understand what the other one's saying. And do you have that problem in this case where there's a language barrier and you all figure out a way to overcome it?
We do.
Why don't we, in fact, just do that little scene?
Thanks, Tom.
Hello, segue.
All right,
hello.
This is Louis. Louis.
What scene are we doing?
Scott playing Louis. Dee Dee is an actress playing
Yamba.
Okay.
Yamba.
And Scott is the shipwrecked, or Louis is the shipwrecked person on the island, and Dee Dee is playing Yamba, the Aborigine woman.
Aborigine woman.
Yeah, okay. And you're going to get a free preview right now, those of you who are listening.
Okay, so this is a scene where they first meet, and Louis. They're frightened of Louis, which surprises him because he's harmless, but he thinks, oh, I must be as exotic to them as they are to me. And he's trying to figure out a way to assuage their fears. And he's very good at gymnastics, just like me. So he does this gymnastics thing for them and bowls them over with that. And he's exhausted, and he drops down, and the old man comes and kicks him to make sure he's still alive. And then the young woman comes and offers him water. And then Louis says, with a simple gesture of kindness, a powerful bond begins to form. And then he says to her, I am Louis. What is your name?
Yamba.
Yamba. Louis.
Louis.
Yes, that's right. My name is Louis. The old man, she somehow conveys, is her father.
Gunda.
Gunda.
Mm.
Yamba tells me her story.
Ayakawu anatu umburunda takaya und papo dolopi.
For those of you who don't understand Yamba's language, allow me to translate. Our home is far away, many moons and suns away, where we live with our people. We set out, as we often do, in our little boat and went from island to island to catch sea turtles. A terrible storm came, and the wind blew us far from home. For days, the sun baked us, and we ran out of water. We got weaker and weaker and fell asleep. We were adrift until you came along, meaning I. Like a god of the ocean, her words, not mine.
Und
and saved
und
us and brought us to your home. This is not my home. My home, too, is far away. We learn to communicate. Word by word, we learn each other's language. Sand.
Sand. Yono.
Yono. Sky.
Sky. Laulu.
Laulu.
Twi.
Bird. Twi. Bird.
Bird.
Wow. All right. You guys can send in your price for the ticket to me. I've given you a free introduction and a great scene from the Playmakers Christmas season production, Shipwreck. We'll be back with Tom Quaintance, the director, and the members of the cast after this short break. Welcome back to Who's Talking. These guys are still talking in the Aboriginary. We're talking about the Playmakers' current production, or the Christmas season production, Shipwrecked. And we're visiting with Tom Quaintance, our friend, who comes back often to Chapel Hill and often in the Christmas season to bring us these delightful plays. This one, I'm getting more and more excited about, Tom. I love what you've done, and I thank you for sharing. There, two of the players, Derek Ledbetter and Jimmy Kiefer.
Sorry,
there's an argument here about how you pronounce that name. Are two of the players that Louis introduces to help him tell his story
right.
about being shipwrecked. And I'd love to hear more about them. Would you introduce them to us?
Sure, sure. Jimmy and Derek are folks that I've been working with for 3 years. Jimmy, I actually know longer. He was a Los Angeles guy like me. And but these guys, so the players who play, I don't know, 50 characters or so throughout the course of the play, they're picking up all the different parts of Louis' story, and so later in the play, one of the things I really love about this play is while it is a delightful storytelling kind of thing, there's a serious side of this too. I mean, this is a play that. It's not just for kids. I mean, it's something that's totally appropriate for families, and I think kids will love it. But I think that it's both going to be a lot of fun for adults, but also interesting as well. And
Tom, let me introduce you to because this is personal. But what age range would be the? You wouldn't want to take a toddler to the play, but
I mean,
you might take some 8 or 9 year old.
Sure, absolutely.
I'd take my toddler.
You would?
Seriously.
And why? I mean, what about it?
Because kids are the best audiences. Because kids are. I mean, you jump on stage with a black mark on your nose, and you say, "Ah, I'm Rusty. I'm a dog," and they're right there with you. You know. So I mean, I'd love to see toddlers in the audience.
4 and 5 year olds, you mean?
Definitely.
Wow.
We had some at Little Prince, and it was just so beautiful to
you
have
all
them
agree
in the
with,
audience.
I mean, you all agree?
I think
any
so.
Cautions
yeah.
about?
Yeah. I mean, I think that one of the things we've been talking about over the course of rehearsals is actually how much this play reminds us of The Little Prince in terms of being a play that is in some ways. There's a part of the story that's aimed at kids. You know, you've got Bruno the dog, who's one of the major characters in the play, and Derek's going to walk away with all of those scenes, clearly.
Oh, man.
but you've also got enough of an adult story going through it that I think it's going to be really fascinating for really anybody.
This is, again, personal. I'm thinking about my grandchildren and they'll have to come to matinees, which is Sundays. Sunday matinees, I think.
And there probably is a Saturday matinee.
There's a Saturday matinee, and there's actually a couple of student matinees during the week.
Well, I can't give the exact details about that, but they'll be posted on the Playmakers website. And
we'll try to have some information on our website, more detailed information about the matinee productions that would be good for children who have to go to bed before.
Also, the show starts at 7:30, and it's an hour and a half, so you're out by, and there's no intermission, so you're out by 9.
So a little bit of stretch for bedtime might work for other kids. Well, I interrupted you, and you were going to introduce me to another scene.
In this scene, Jimmy and Derek are playing reporters. This is after some experts sort of call into question some of the details of Louis' story. And so there's this, I think, great scene where the sort of muckraking reporters are trying to dig up dirt on Louis' life.
So, this is so topical. I mean,
totally.
It's so timely the sense that, we've gone through this recent case with our governor who has just been harassed to death by reporters who've just questioned every little piece of his story
There's details in the reporters telling of it that, I mean, they're presenting it like reporters do as fact, but there's things about it which we're like, oh, I don't know if that's exactly accurate. So, and they clearly have an agenda. And there's actually really interesting things historically where Louis' story was published in this Wide World magazine, and the rival paper, the Chronicle, spent all sorts of time and all sorts of headlines trying to rip him down, and it had more to do with the fact that they were rival newspapers than it had to do with anything about what the story was. I mean, they were really just trying to sell papers. So it's one of those things where this is a tale that goes way back about how slinging mud is can be a really it's about money, about selling papers, about what kind of crazy headlines they can come up with. But so this is a scene where the reporters come in and talk about whether or not Louis' story is entirely accurate.
Now tell us who your actors are.
So in this scene, you've got Derek Ledbetter and Jimmy Kiefer are playing the reporters. Dee Dee makes a comeback as both Louis' actual wife, perhaps, and a librarian. And you'll also hear Louis making some comments on the side as well.
Well,
truth is indeed stranger than fiction. Never has that adage been more fitting than in the curious case of Louis de Rougemont.
Curious indeed.
He has in fact led a colorful life, but not the one so vividly described in the pages of Wide World magazine.
What?
Yes, he was a sickly child who was cared for by his mother, and his father was largely absent, but it wasn't because his father was off doing business in exotic places. It was because he was a drunkard who died in debtor's prison.
That is not entirely true.
The man who calls himself de Rougemont did not leave home at 17. Rather, his mentally imbalanced mother threw him out.
That is an affront. My mother was a saint.
He settled in London for a time, where he worked in various households as a butler and a jack of all trades.
It is around this time that we lose track of our subject's whereabouts. He may have embarked on a pearling expedition.
Uh-huh.
He may have even been shipwrecked.
See, I knew I'd be vindicated.
It is also possible that said gentleman was marooned on a tiny island off one of the archipelagos in New Guinea.
There you go, New Guinea, that's right.
However, if such a marooning took place, he could not have gone missing more than 3 years.
3 years?
For at that time, we are able to document the rescue of a lone half-crazed castaway by an Australian trawler. The madman was brought to Sydney, where he later married.
That's him, all right. He ran out on me, the no-good rotten.
And had two daughters named, yes, Blanche and Gladys.
For the next several years, he held a variety of odd jobs.
Spirit photographer.
Faith healer.
Inventor of useless contraptions.
The man who calls himself de Rougemont deserted his wife and daughters in Sydney and returned to London.
There, he spent countless hours in the reading room of the British Library concocting his fantastic story.
Yes, that's him. That's the man.
Are you certain?
Oh, yes, quite certain. He requested every last book we had on the Australian Outback. Oh, yes, as I recall, he had a particular fascination for the Aborigines.
It is the sober conclusion of this investigation that de Rougemont took the 3 years he was unaccounted for and simply added a zero to the truth.
Truth? What is truth?
Wow. Oh, man, this is a scene from the Playmakers' Christmas season production, Shipwrecked. We'll continue our conversation with Tom Quaintance, the director of this production, after this short break. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm visiting with Tom Quaintance, who is the director of the Playmakers' Christmas season production, Shipwrecked. And, Tom, thanks for bringing your players with you, sharing these scenes. I just have to say that if those of you are listening, if you've just joined in this late, go to our webpage, get this program, and listen. You'll get a free look at some of the best scenes from Shipwrecked. And once hearing those scenes, I think you'll, like me, just decide you gotta hear it. But Tom, hearing scenes and learning about this play, and learning about Louis de Rougemont, the guy whom you're going to bring to us to tell his story, mm-hmm. how did this story come to the stage? Who wrote the play? How did the playwright approach it? What's new? What did the playwright add that wasn't part of the real story? And
Donald Margulies is the playwright, and he this play is a relatively new play. It's I think premiered about 5 years ago at a theater in California, and you know, I think he came across this story and was struck both by all of the kind of contemporary, the contemporary relevance of it, the way in which, you know, the media kind of built him up and then tore him down, and he was also, at least he says in his notes about it, he was really just fascinated by the sort of nature of storytelling and the way in which that is a sort of jumping off point to explore what storytelling means in theater. You know, I mean, it's I think that the Margulies and I both share a real interest in sort of good old fashioned storytelling and the way in which theater can do that better than any other medium. The fact that you are there in the room with your audience. You know, we've got Scott Ripley and these three other fine actors here. We don't have one of the most important characters in the play, which is the audience. I mean, this is something where this is the whole play is really a conversation between Louis and the audience, and not just with Louis, but also with the whole company. And sort of, it's a very direct. You know, we're finding in rehearsals right now. We open, you know, in about a week, and wow, we want an audience in there. We want the other character in the room. So I think it's something that is an exploration of all the different ways that you can tell stories in theater. There's puppetry, and there's things that, and it's something where the rehearsal process for this really, I mean, Didi was talking about how it's unlike anything that she's been around. It is the most collaborative production I've ever worked on, where, you know, you've got every page basically has some crazy theatrical challenge you've got to solve, and some of them are solved by some design elements, some of them are solved by the sound or the music. We're lucky enough to have Mark Lewis compose the music for the show, and he's actually playing live on stage.
Oh wow! And so you got new music.
Oh yeah,
an additional.
It is. I mean, the sound and music of the show is going to be spectacular. And Mark,
it's all original.
All original music, and there's a lot of music suggested in the script, but the music is like they sing a song, and there's not. And so Mark has written not only music but lyrics for things, and. The combination of a full score, almost like a film score. I mean, there are scenes. The shipwreck scene is. I just think it's beautiful and exciting, and the sound of it. But so there are places where the music's telling the story. There are places where it's just the actors. There are places where it's lights and props and costumes. And you know, we'd get into the room, and there'd be we'd have okay, so. How are we going to build this turtle? You know, or that's like.
Yeah, how are we gonna have a fisherman and his boat dragged down to the watery depths by a giant octopus? That's actually a scene, you know, right?
And I mean, so we have to wait to see how you and your colleagues and the set design and the mechanics of this do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really beautiful
production.
Let me
ask you this, Tom, and this interests me in terms of the challenge of. Stage drama in this age where mm-hmm. it's just different from the way it always has been. And one of the advantages that live theater has is that you've got this third actor, the audience, in it, but we really don't know how to bring a spontaneousness from the audience onto the stage without disrupting the whole plan that the actors and the director have developed. For instance, in this case where Louis is telling his story, if he were really telling the story, he would be out there making some of it up as he goes along, as he sees how the audience is mm-hmm. reacting, adjusting his story based on their reaction, or at least some of that.
Sure,
in this case, he's got a script. He's got a follow that. No room for improvisation.
Really? Well, really? Yeah, exactly.
There is some room, actually. There is
a little
room.
Really?
Sure.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, there are a couple of points in the production where I hope people wonder, is this scripted or is he making this up right now?
And there are places where, you know, I mean, there are places where we ask for audience participation, and we find both ask responses. We'll sort of see how it goes. I mean, it's something that I do think that this is a pretty pure form of storytelling in that way.
So you give your I'm expecting you to say no to this question, but you're going to give your actors the license to change the play a little bit on the spot if they see audiences reacting.
If a cell phone goes off during the middle of the show,
it will not be ignored.
It will not be ignored. This is that kind of show where you know, if somebody makes a big reaction, Scott's there.
He's got the freedom or the license or the direction to respond to an audience reaction.
Sure.
I'll keep that in mind. Yeah, I've always wanted some attention from the stage.
And there are actually a couple of points in the play where Tom said in rehearsal, are we doing this? Are we solving this? And the conclusion has been, we don't know yet. We're not going to know until there's people in the room how that moment is going to work.
One of the exciting things about previews, you know, we open the show on Saturday, but we have previews on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of that week. And, you know, it'll be a different show every night. I mean, it's going to be something that we're going to be experimenting right up until we open and maybe through it, you know, beyond. It should be very exciting.
Well, I believe you're onto something that's real important in the future of drama, and that is that if you can bring me in there and not just ask me to sit for 90 minutes and watch you, but to say, hey, you perform a little bit. You get up and react to this.
This is a play where Margulies is very specifically writing a play that is a reaction against a kind of overproduced, like it just might as well be a movie kind of event. You know, it's something where you're really asking the audience to come in and bring their imagination, and not just because, I mean, but something where we need an audience to engage in this and to dream with us in this. This is not about when we see, I mean, there's a scene where there's a monsoon that ends up where there's the ship gets caught in a giant whirlpool and the characters almost get whipped off the stage and then the ship sinks. And it's all this crazy stuff that you're not going to be seeing a ship and water, and it's we're not trying to do that kind of production. We're trying to do something that is about imagination and theatrical storytelling.
And there are also scenes where
this is Scott Ripley, who's playing, who is Louis.
That's
absolutely
correct.
Yeah.
Yes, and there are also scenes where there's direct confrontation with the audience.
Help me with this. I love this. What do you mean?
What I mean is that if you don't want to be a part of the play, you probably shouldn't come. And if you do come, you probably shouldn't be in the first couple of rows, because you may actually wind up being a character in the play. And I'm not saying anything more, DJ.
Oh, my golly. Well, we've been talking with Tom Quaintance, who's the director of the Playmakers Christmas season production, Shipwrecked. I'm all excited about it. I feel like I'm going to go down into the depths of the ocean and travel to romantic desert islands, and then also participate in a lively tearing down of a fake storyteller. And it's just going to be a wonderful experience. Thanks to all of you all for sharing this with us. More information about the Playmakers and the Playmakers production Shipwrecked on our website. Look forward to seeing all of you there. Thanks for listening. This has been D.G. Martin, Who's Talking?